From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It's a really interesting day. Free agency is officially here, and the Chiefs have been really, really active. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and we have a great show coming for you here in a little bit. We are going to go through a bunch of your questions. There's so much to cover with this free agency period that we wanted to go through and answer your questions that you sent to hashtag Locked On Chiefs mailbag, as well as some of the others that we got from phone calls and that kind of thing. So we are going to get to that pretty quickly, but we recorded this Wednesday morning and a lot of the details hadn't been out yet. So what we're going through, just quick updates, quick reaction, both the Hitchens contract and the Watkins contract are very light in base salary in 18. That helps them have a little bit of room. Both hit pretty good. I don't see an easy way out of the Watkins contract period, but if so, it would be after 19. There is a spot to get out of the Hitchens contract after 19, so they're really both at the bare minimum 2-year contracts. Confirmed with the Marcus Peters trade that it's a second-round pick in 2019, and after the moves that the Chiefs have made, quite honestly, they've plugged some holes, and that feels like a better deal now, certainly when you compare it to the Aqib Talib deal. So there's a little bit of positivity going there. Going to be waiting to see what happens with Raheem Nunez-Rochus. Tendered at the original round level. I think he's going to get some offers. The Chiefs have the first right of refusal. So if he does get an offer, what you're going to see is that the Chiefs have to make a decision about, do they match whatever offer he got, or do they let him go and get a sixth-round pick for it? That's basically the way that it's going to work. I'm a little surprised, but it is what it is, and we'll have to see how it comes out. Maybe his market is lower than I think it is, but I think there will be some offers. So before we take too much longer, want to thank you guys for listening. The ratings, the reviews, everything that you're doing to help us is helping us help you. We got to pay the bills, so those ratings and reviews help us with advertisers and that kind of thing. So as long as we can keep the lights on, we want to keep giving you as much information as we can. Make sure to check out Rogue Analytics. That's at rogueapc.com. That's where all my stuff is for all the analytics, the athletic matrix. All the stuff from last season is still available. We're going to release the new version here after the pro day circuit is complete and we have all of our data. So look for that. But you can check out last year's. It's at a reduced price and all that kind of stuff, so you can check it out. So give that a look. And let's start answering some questions.
This is a mailbag special episode. You have a lot of questions over the signing that Kansas City has made over the past couple of days. We have answers. We have been taking your questions, and that is what we're going to be covering today. I am Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan, analyst, ChiefsDigest.com, LockedOnChiefs.com, founder of RogueAPC.com. All of our draft stuff's over there. I got some analytics on some of the production stats as well, so check that out. And you know what? I have questions too.
You always have questions and spelling questions at that as well.
Folks, thanks for listening. Don't read me.
Yes, please don't. Or at least if you do, hope that I have proofread him first.
Yeah, knock on wood. Good to have an editor.
Yeah. Keeps me busy, let me tell you. Plenty of typos to fix.
Now, we know some of you have been leaving some voicemails. We're having a little trouble getting those downloaded, so we're going to revisit that here at a point whenever we can get them down so we can hear your audio. So keep those coming in. We appreciate it.
First question from Matt Lacoste, and if I messed up your name, I apologize. Is everyone else in Chiefs Kingdom as excited as I am to finally have a former Hawkeyes player to root for in Anthony Hitchens?
Well, if you're from Des Moines.
All kidding aside, how big of an impact do you think he'll make? I've wanted him on the Chiefs for a long time.
Well, you're going to get your wish. In terms of an impact, it depends how you define it. He is going to be a steady tackler. Year in, year out, although his best season was 2017, he has been a guy that plays the run very well and makes a lot of tackles. So you're going to see him in the stat sheet. He's going to end a lot of plays, and that's exactly what this team needs next to Reggie Ragland.
Yeah, he's going to be a run stuffer, and that's really going to be great. Whether or not he can be a three down linebacker, we will find out. But he's at least in a good position here to take over for Derek Johnson and Kevin Pierre-Louis, who obviously with this signing, you would think is moving on to, I almost wanted to say greener pastures, but that sounds wrong considering what he got in trouble for.
Come on now. Well, and there's a couple of repercussions here. One, we expect that because of their restricted status, that the Chiefs are going to still retain for camp at least Ramique Wilson and Terrence Smith. So you're going to see them in the mix. But I think this
– Well, hold on. Terrence Smith is an exclusive rights free agent. They don't have to do really anything with him. They have to tender Ramique Wilson, and they haven't done that yet. They haven't tendered R&R yet either.
That's a fair point. And lost in the last couple of days and all this explosion of free agent moves. That is a very significant point. I'm glad you made that. And maybe that's what happens. And maybe you are going to see another signing or maybe still a draft pick. What I think is key here is it gives you an impression. Clearly, the KPL situation is over with. But clearly, they didn't feel that they had a guy that could start next to Ragland on the roster right now.
Yep.
So does that mean, and what we need to find out is Akeem Oligwe going to become a guy that can play that will? He's got the physical capabilities, still learning the instincts, still learning the game. It gives him another year to learn at the very least and be a special team ace. I think he's shown a lot of spark in that area. So I think that's a positive for him.
Yeah, and the other thing that we really don't know is just because they've signed him for what they're calling close to $9 million a year, we don't know what that really is. I mean, that could be a 5-year deal that's, you know, $20 million guaranteed and averages $9 per year, but that's because of big salaries at the end of the contract. We just don't know. So, you know, we're going to have to wait and find out and see what happens in that. But, you know, I think he's obviously going to be a starter. So we will...
Yeah, there's no question. He will be a starter
right.
at that salary. There is no question. But what that means to the rest, because he is a guy that if I look up his stats, I want to say he played over 1,000 snaps in 2017 and that he has been fairly consistent.
Yep.
So all that taken, you have a guy that can play on first and second and at least a fair majority of third downs. And I think that's really all you can ask for.
Yeah. And I still think it's a good signing. I kind of liked him as a piece that you could plug in for Kansas City early in the offseason. I didn't think that they would go out and get him, but it doesn't surprise me. He's 25 years old, so he's still young. He's faster than what they had. And you know, like I said earlier, I think KPL kind of got himself out of a job with his arrest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now that I look at the numbers, he's played 1,000 snaps or more in 3 of the last 4 seasons. And so that's a significant sign. The only question mark will be when they have to play man coverage out of that or they need to go to the nickel, there are going to be times where they're still going to use a 3 safety set. But I think what you saw in Dallas is that he is capable of dropping into a zone and giving you that look and staying on the field for 3 downs, at least part of the time.
Yeah. So I think it's a good signing for them. Moving forward, I think that probably precludes them from doing much more in free agency, really depending on the structure of the Watkins and the Hitchens deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really going to hamper what they do. And, you know, it's also been noted that Muhammad Wilkerson has signed a contract with the Green Bay. So that takes him out of the running for Kansas City and they will continue to look other places. Next question from Larry Roy Carnes. Prediction for the next position the Chiefs target in free agency. Kind of just address that. Sorry, I didn't read the question before I went off on my little tangent.
Well, let me add to that, though, because there still could be some lower-level corners.
That's true.
Or depth linebackers, certainly other defensive line. Haven't heard anything about Justin Pugh. Coming off of a back injury, he's the lone guard left out there because I believe Norwell is approaching a contract if not hasn't been signed
with the Jaguars for $65 million a year or $65 million. Right. Sorry, $65 million a year. My bad.
That'd be a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's out there still. There's still a possibility. There is a way that, you know, if they decided like a Jonathan Cooper or Pugh or somebody else at left guard could help them, if they structure the contract so that next year's salary isn't great, they have plenty of room in 19. So maybe they push some of that back and maybe they can do something else. But we just won't know until we have the details.
Close to $85 million in 19 is, I think, what they have available, which is absolutely ridiculous. And that doesn't even include the cap going up, which it'll go up another $10 million. So obviously that'll change because they'll have draft picks that get signed and whatnot, and they'll have – other guys that get signed, so they won't have that, but it's a pretty hefty number.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so next question. Let's see. This is from B4EverRoyal85. Do you think that with Marcus Peters, with what Marcus Peters said on NFL Network, that Patrick Mahomes knew how to get him the ball, was that being a little overconfident on his part or just trying to get in the head of the young quarterback? I'm thinking that what Marcus Peters said is that, you know, he has had the opportunity to pick off Patrick Mahomes a couple of times. And I would agree that he probably has, but I would also say I bet you Patrick Mahomes got the better of him several times as well.
I have to think so, especially with Tyreek down the seam there, because Marcus is challenged with vertical speed, and that's just the truth of the matter.
Yep. So definitely think that is him just talking and jawing and being Marcus Peters. Next question from Brent 102 Fire. Is Logan better than Poe, or are they equal?
For me, it depends on which Poe. He lost some weight, and I think he played better in Atlanta than he had for the Chiefs. Slightly different role. I didn't see him two-gap as much in the games that I saw. So it's kind of apples and oranges as far as that goes. But clearly, the Chiefs can't afford either of them, so I don't know that it matters at this point.
Well, we say they can't afford him, but again, without knowing what the contract structure is, you know, the thought is they can't afford them.
Okay, I wouldn't want to afford them, especially if Sheldon Richardson becomes available, which I think he still is going to.
Well, but if he becomes available, I mean, you can't say that they can afford Sheldon Richardson and they can't afford Dontari Poe. I think it goes hand in hand. If they can't afford one, they can't afford the other, because I think Richardson's going to get a decent contract, but we will see.
Well, you got to go and make sense.
Because that's what I do. Okay. Another question from Brent 102 Fire. With legal issues on the horizon, should the Chiefs cut Harris? He's very inconsistent, and could they sign a guy like Selleck?
Yes.
Yeah, I already knew you were going there.
I like Selleck, and I know that Andy Reid liked him. So I don't see why that's not, like, you know, nearly a perfect fit.
Fair enough. The next question, Croker _ 29. If you were a D coordinator playing against the Chiefs, how would you defend against them? If you can.
If you were a D coordinator playing against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm.
How do you defend them?
I would play a 46 front, cover both the guards and the left tackle, attack the left guard, play a cover two man kind of concept, get an initial bump and have guys over the top. And I would let them run on me if that's what they had to do.
How did I know that you were going to be attacking the offensive line?
Yeah, well, hey, it's how you get things
done. Fair enough. I'm not going to argue at this point. And we're going to have a couple of more questions here in just a couple of minutes. Okay, next question. This is from Aardvark72. At this point, what do you think the Chiefs' greatest need is?
Oh, you take that one first.
Pass rusher.
That's exactly what I think.
I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, unfortunately, because there's really nobody out there to go get. So I think it has to be pass rusher. That question, go ahead.
And what I was going to say is, and I will tell you this, if I'm Brett Veach and I get a pass rusher at 54, I might not be done. I might take a second pass rusher. Maybe 86, maybe at the top of the fourth, because you're looking at projects in Nicholas and K-Pass you're looking at losing Dee Ford, and you're looking at Justin Houston turning 30.
Okay. Don't disagree with any of those. I am not really – I'm going to change the subject just a little bit. But you did mention the draft pick at 54. And this comes with my own question that I wanted to get answered from you, and I'll give you my thoughts as well. Do you think that with this move for Sammy Watkins and the move for Hitchens that the Chiefs have basically cornered themselves into going defense at 56? 54, sorry.
Cornered, I wouldn't say so. I think it's extremely likely. But I think that Brett Veach has shown the aggression that if he feels that there's a player on the board at 54 that he truly feels will become a starter, and that's really what a second-round pick should be, is a guy that might need a little bit of time but should become a starter.
Well, and I think I think I should have thrown out the fact, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, I think I should throw out the fact that I'm not 100% sold that they're going to stay at 54.
Agreed.
Not with what Veach has shown.
Right, and if you think about it, when what they've done to this point is they've filled the hole at inside linebacker. They filled the hole at wide receiver. They may be happy at guard. I don't know. If Isaiah Wynn is there when New England picks, I could see trying to go get that. If Jair Alexander is there, late in the first, I could see trying to go up there. I definitely think a trade up early into the second is probably a little bit more likely just because of the cost of getting back into the first round. But I think the meat of the cornerback class, which is probably the second biggest need, is right there in the second round. The pass rusher class is just kind of two guys that can play outside linebacker and then a lot of guys that should really be late second or third round guys.
Yeah. I don't know that they're really cornered into taking a defensive player at 54 or wherever they pick first. I do think that it really depends on who is available, and I think that Brett Veach has shown that he's going to go get whatever guy that they really want. If that ends up being another guard, great. If it ends up being defense, that's fine. I do believe that pass rush is their biggest need, and I'm not sure where they're going to be able to get that. If they cannot address that in the draft, it's going to be a long season, but at the same time, you know, I don't really know that they have a ton of moves that they need to make or a ton of holes that they need to fill that they need all those draft picks for. So it wouldn't surprise me if they move up or maybe even move down and get more picks for next year.
And that's a fair case. You know, whatever you can't get done this year, you're going to have to get done next year. And if that includes being able to set yourself up for the 19 draft a little bit better, then maybe that's okay. Because what you've done now is you've reduced it to an iffy situation at guard. Maybe, you know, I think Therese feels like they might want to stand pat. I don't feel that way, but the team might. And then you look at pass rusher and corner, which unfortunately are two of the four most important positions in football. But you need both of them. And if you can't get them, if you literally cannot get them in 18, why not set yourself up for 19?
All right. Go a little bit quicker here. Larry Roy Carnes asked another question. Prediction on the Chiefs' record next season.
Man.
I'm going to say 10-6.
Whoa. Okay.
Nine and seven, 10-6, mainly because I think that their offense is going to be very hard to defend against, and I think that will win them more games than their defense will let them lose or make them lose.
Okay, fair enough. Well, at this point, right now today, pre-draft, before free agency is actually opened, because as we record this, we're still, you know, more than a few hours from free agency actually opening. This is just the tampering period. I'm going to say 8-8 at this point. Because of the talent, and like you said, they've added to the offense. They still have two significant holes on this defense that could prevent them from being able to win football games. But I'm going to do that with the caveat that they can get stuff done in the draft and in what remains of free agency. So I reserve the right to amend that prediction.
Imagine that you're reserving the right to change your mind.
Right.
I'm surprised you didn't say something about Anthony Sherman. Another question from Larry Roy Carnes. Hypothetically, if the Chiefs were somehow able to trade for Earl Thomas this offseason, is Veach the best GM in the NFL?
No. Because if they trade for Earl Thomas on the contract that he's on, that breaks your cap. And that is not a good GM. I think Earl Thomas is a great idea, folks. It ain't happening. And if it did, the sacrifices that would have to be made in other places on this team are not worth it, in my opinion.
No, I have to agree. I think that Earl Thomas, the name is great. The thought process of having him next to Barry is great. The problem is paying them both. Simply cannot wrap that kind of money up in safeties, regardless of how good they are and how good they could be combined. I also don't think it would make up for the other issues that they wouldn't be able to cover up by getting another corner or making other moves, because they're going to have to trade. It sounds like Seattle wants a pretty penny to get Thomas away from them.
Especially because he's going to be a free agent in 19. So you're getting a 1 year. And yes, a guy on a contract year is usually a good thing. But you got to remember, it's a 28, going to be 29-year-old on a contract year.
Well, and he's also at the end of his second contract, which is also generally going to be one of the largest contract numbers that the players are going to have. So
true.
In my opinion, no. Kelly T E H Geek. So the, but spelled backwards, but misspelled on the. Chances of Wilkerson, Richardson, Poe coming over. Obviously, this question was asked before it became official that Wilkerson will be a Packer. Richardson or Poe? What do you think?
I don't think Poe comes back. I think the staff has seen what they need to see from him, and I don't think there's going to be a reunion of any kind. I'm interested to see what Sheldon might get. Knowing that they had significant interest in Wilkerson and were not able to secure him, I would not be surprised if we find out that these contracts allow some room in 2018 – that they don't make a run at Richardson. Clearly, it's a position that they feel they need to work on. And I think that he might even be a better prospect at this point, at this age, than Wilkerson.
Yeah, I could see Richardson. I kind of am of the same opinion. I don't see Poe coming over. But at the same time, I also wonder if they just don't want to go young at defensive line overall and try to draft somebody high in the defensive line. In at defensive tackle or defensive end for that matter.
Hey, why don't we take a second and then do another one?
Chiefs fan for life. With our offense pretty much locked up, who do you think will be our first pick on defense in the second round? Kind of talked about this already, but didn't really talk about players.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a feeling for anything?
Not really. I really think that it's more going to be positional as opposed to specific players, because I just don't know. To me, it's still too early to know who's going to be around and who won't be. And I'm still of the opinion that this doesn't mean that they're not going to go offense. I mean, if there's a tight end that Andy Reid really likes there in the second round, give your young QB another tight end to throw to, maybe be able to go to more two tight end sets. Who knows?
Well, and that goes without saying. If Andy Reid likes him, it's going to get done. But I will tell you the two that I'm looking at, and here's a little preview of my post-combine mock draft version 2 that'll come out here in the next week or two. I am not convinced that Marcus Davenport is a first-round pick. And I am fairly certain that more GMs and professional leaders of teams are going to agree with me than those guys that in the media feel that he's a top 15 pick. His level of competition is next to nothing, and I just don't feel that he can make an impact that a top 15 pick has to make. So I kind of feel like maybe not necessarily 54, but definitely on the second day, I think Marcus Davenport is available. Maybe they do that if he's there at 54. Maybe they move around a little bit to try and do that. The other guy that I think they should look at very, very seriously is Justin Reed. Free safety, can come into the box when he needs to. Uber athlete, pre-pro day, he has the second highest score on the 2018 athletic matrix from Rogue Analytics for the safeties. He is Eric Reed's younger brother. A lot of experience, a lot of legacy there. I think he would make a perfect fit across from Eric Berry.
Well, there you go, guys. There are your questions. And actually, I guess we do have one more. Dalton Alfrey asks, do you think the Chiefs are done adding in free agency? Big moves, yes. But this is kind of like what I said on Wednesday show. To me, it really matters what the terms of the contract are. And I don't know that I said this, but, you know, if they gave Watkins 2 years or a $20 million signing bonus with a $2 million salary in 18 and a big salary in 19, you know, that's only $8 million this year. There's still cap space to use. But you would also think that they're going to want cap space for the draft class and to be able to make some other moves. I think that they are pretty much done in big moves unless they make some other cuts.
Agree, and that could happen. But also, you need to have some more bodies. You know, they're losing Zach Fulton. So even if you think one of the other guards is going to be your starter, you still need to backload, you know, your seventh offensive lineman. So there's going to be somebody that they might look at. If they feel they can do that better in free agency than the draft, you could see that. Definitely we'll see some kind of defensive lineman, whether it's R&R or Jenkins coming back or somebody. I don't think they're going after Benny Logan, and they're going to need to backfill that position as well.
You know, the other big question that we haven't even talked about is, and the assumption is going to be made, or the assumption that I've made at this point, is that Dee Ford's going to not be able to pass his physical tomorrow. And we're recording this on the 13th. So if he doesn't pass his physical, his contract is guaranteed. If he does pass his physical, is that a move you make? You cut him?
No. Nope. You don't have a viable option outside of him right now. Yes, Tano Pasnio may become a monster. The power that he has, the size that he has, but he's not ready to step into a starting role.
Yeah, but I guess you don't really have to cut him right now. I mean, I guess you could wait and see what you can get in the draft. But that would be, you know, another almost $9 million that he would free up. Really, the only other moves you can look at is maybe Alan Bailey, which would free up $6 million. Daniel Sorensen would free up another $2.5 million.
Yes, please.
But those are really the only moves that really would create any cap space. I mean, technically speaking, Mitchell Schwartz would, but I don't think you're making that move. Demetrius Harris would create $2.1 million. So, I mean, you could make that move, and that could free some space up. Charcander Quest would free up another almost $2 million, so that's another move you can make as well. So I mean, they could free up another $10 million and get to where they could have $10 million for their draft class and still make a couple more moves, but I think they're done at this point. Of course, I didn't expect them to do what they're doing right now or to do what they've done to this point, so then there's that.
Yeah, you know, surprises are surprises for that reason. I won't be, you know, completely shocked.
Yeah. Well, and the one corner that I would have liked to have seen them go out and get, I just don't know that they could really push the bank forward enough to get a guy like Kyle Fuller.
Yeah, unfortunately, that negotiating position is thin. You have to make enough of an offer so that it pushes the Bears out of their comfort zone to match it. And at that point, I think you're pushing the realm of what you can really commit to. I'd love to see it. I like the idea of brothers playing together. I always thought it'd be great if Jeff Schwartz came out of retirement to play with his brother, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. That is it for us tonight at this point.
You know, and folks, we are playing it by ear. There's going to be a lot of news. We could get surprised again, so keep an eye out. We'll have a reaction for you, and we're going to put this show where we think it's going to go now is Thursday, but we'll find out. So thanks for listening to us today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow or the next day or the next day or sometime. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.